From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. At Japan's beleaguered nuclear plant in Fukushima Prefecture, the only good news appears to be that the situation has not gotten substantially worse. Workers are focusing on the most urgent problem. Two pools used to store nuclear fuel should contain enough water to cover the fuel rods, but they don't. The water keeps the rods cool and also acts as a radiation shield, so it is vital. In the past 24 hours, Japan's military has tried to get some water into the pools by dropping it from helicopters and spraying it from water cannons on the ground. Joining us with the latest from Tokyo is NPR's Richard Harrison. Richard, how is the operation going to get that water into those pools?
It's not going all that well, it looks like. Water is critical in those pools because you need to keep that fuel cooled down or you risk a serious explosion. And first, the military tried using helicopters to dump water from above. And we saw four flights on TV yesterday. The helicopters had been shielded with lead, and they still flew quite high to stay above the radiation. But the result was the water sprayed out in a wide cloud rather than hitting a specific target. Next, a police riot control water cannon came in, but officials tell us the water cannon couldn't get close enough. Its stream fell short because of all the radiation there. Finally, the military brought in five water cannons, and they are reporting that those trucks did manage to spray some of the water into one of the reactor buildings. They said they sprayed about 30 metric tons of water, which is better than nothing, but clearly they're not refilling the pools with that amount of water.
So success at this point is still outside of their grasp. What is the plan moving forward?
Well, officials said they plan to resume both maybe the helicopter and the water truck operations Friday morning. This clearly is a stopgap, though, because they have to devise a better system to get water in those pools or to find some other way at least to cover up the fuel and reduce the risk of an explosion there. And they really need to restore electricity to the power plant so they can start using the pumps that are built into the power station. Those could really come in handy.
Well, Richard, bring us up to speed on that effort to restore electricity to the plant.
Well, the International Atomic Energy Agency says the utility has actually laid a new power line to reactor number two, but they haven't hooked it up as yet. And it's not clear whether there's electricity coursing through the big power lines that would supply that line. So that's a question mark for us here right now. And I should add that power is good and important, but electricity in itself won't do the trick because apparently the pumps in the plant have now been gummed up with seawater. And so the utility says they will have to provide new pumps.
Richard, let's take a step back. Up until now, every day seems to have brought some new setback or complication, a new explosion or fire or some sort of other trouble. It sounds like at least the situation right now is not going downhill so rapidly.
That's true, although it is becoming much harder to work at the plant because the water that normally covers these spent fuel rods, and which is now apparently completely evaporated, does serve as an effective radiation shield. And without the water, the levels of radiation in that part of the plant are extreme. People can't even get in there long enough to, like, put in a fire hose or do something like that.
What happens if they can't refill the pools with water?
Well, the best case scenario is that the fuel would just simply sit there and throw off radiation where it is. It's not a cloud that can drift around. And that's apparently what it's been doing since the water evaporated from those pools. So losing the water is not an automatic catastrophe, but the fuel is covered with a metal called zirconium. And if the fuel continues to get hotter and hotter, the zirconium can crack. Hydrogen gas can be generated, and that can trigger explosions that could spew large amounts of radiation into the air. That would, of course, contaminate the reactor site, making work there even more difficult, and it could be blown downwind.
You mentioned the best-case scenario. I don't want to dwell on this, but I do need to ask you about the worst-case scenario, something that officials are obviously thinking about.
Yes, and in fact, the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission put together a worst-case scenario, factoring in there are six reactors here, there's a lot of used nuclear fuel in the pools, and lots of other things that can go wrong. And in that nightmare case, they said that radiation could still be at levels that are twice the annual occupational safety hazard at a distance of 50 miles downwind. So that's a very significant amount of radiation. And if it comes to that, let's hope the wind is blowing east, as it usually does, because at least that would push that radioactive plume out to sea.
That's Richard Harris reporting for us in Tokyo. Richard, thank you very much.
Okay.